Our text this morning is Proverbs 3, 27-35. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon is giving the way of wisdom to those with whom God has covenanted. And even in Proverbs 3, he's going over the topic of blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. And this morning, as we read our text, see how this section provides the way of wisdom as it instructs on how to love our neighbor, how to love like God, and how to hope in God. Again, our text is Proverbs 3, 27 through 35. This is the Word of God. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but the fools get disgrace. Let us pray. Lord, we are told by you to come and ask for wisdom, so this morning we ask, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom on how we live for you, how we love and serve. Lord, use your word this morning to open our eyes and our hearts. On how we should serve you, but also where we can get the strength to do so. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. Speak to us, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, one of the first albums I ever bought, I don't know if y'all remember albums. Does anybody buy albums anymore with all the digital music? But you used to actually go buy a physical copy of 10, 12, 15 songs. And mine was on a cassette tape, which I don't know if anybody knows what that is anymore, right? Especially kids. I bought that. Hold yourself. It's a shocker. But it was Bonnie Raitt's Let's Give Them Something to Talk About. And that song goes, you know, let's give them something to talk about. How about love? Anyways. Yeah, I mean, Bonnie asked me to sing backup for her at one time, but how about love? And love is an important thing to talk about. And our passage this morning is really about love. It shows us how to love our neighbor and to love in light of God's covenant. You see, because God, in love, called Israel out of Egypt. In love, he gave them the promised land so that they might serve him. In love, he gave them the temple so that he might dwell with them. But he has also, in love, instructed them on how to walk in his ways, to love their neighbor. He gives them the wisdom that not only instructs on how they should live, but how to shape their hearts, to show them what to love like God, as verse 32 talks about. The devious person is an abomination to the Lord. That is, he hates abomination. But to the upright are in his confidence. They're close to his heart. He brings them in. But it's not always easy, is it? This morning we may be tempted to love things that are not of God. To love the love of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. Paul said there will come those who are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. Some of us may love safety over service or comfort over conviction. But our text tells us that because God has loved us, we must love like God. But how do we love like God? The first way is to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. When Christ was asked, what is the greatest commandment? How did he reply? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And so our passage this morning is practically working this out. How do we love God? How do we love our neighbor? In our text, we're starting with our neighbors, people who we dwell next to, and how we treat them. We have five do not statements. Four of those do not statements concern the neighbor. Verses 27 and 28 are a couplet, and 29 and 30 are a couplet. And in the middle, the neighbor is mentioned in 28 and 29. So let's look at 27 and 28, the first couplet here. Similar themes. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due, and when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. So these are sort of like positive commands on how to love your neighbor. That is, we're to give them, to do good to them when it is in our power, and to not delay in doing good to them when we have it with us. And now, to whom is good due? Certainly, for Solomon, it might be workers that he owes wages to. It might be the poor or downcast who have come to him rightly for aid. It might be those at the justice at the gates seeking justice in some matter. And then if he has the power to do it, he was to do it. And so with us, we're not to delay in doing good, and we're to give good to those to whom it is due. Now the second couplet talks about a negative commands, in a sense. Don't do evil to your neighbor. Don't plan evil, and don't contend with a man for no reason, for he's done you no harm. Your neighbor is there dwelling peacefully beside you, and we should seek to do them no harm. You say, Stephen, that seems easy. I like my neighbors. They're nice people. Some of you may even say, I don't even know who my neighbors are. Some of you may be like, I don't even have neighbors. I live out in the middle of nowhere. That's fine. But Jesus shows us that we have to dig deeper beyond just those who dwell next to us. Because Jesus says, if you hate your brother in your heart, you're guilty of murder. So it's not just not doing evil to our brothers. It's even in our hearts that if we hate them, we plot evil. We're not to contend for no reason with them. There is a time to contend, to fight for truth and justice. But this is not that time. This is saying you're contending for no reason. Now, I think of online and social media, and I've read a bunch of stuff online, and there are a lot of people who, I don't know why, but they like to contend with others for no reason at all. They just pick fights, they'll say things, and it's crazy to me. Again, we should not engage in that, whether it's online or with our next door neighbor. And in a way, we're highlighting here two kinds of sins. And Robert prayed this morning. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins of omission is not doing what I ought to do. Sins of commission is doing what I ought not to do. So here we're to do good to our neighbor, right? To not withhold good, to not delay in doing good. And if we don't do that, that's sort of a sin of omission. Like, it's not the worst thing if you don't do that. Nobody might not even notice. But nonetheless, it is a sin because we owe them good. And then there's sins of commission. That is, I'm actively doing it. And here it's planning evil, plotting against them, contending with them for no reason. Sins of omission and sins of commission. And so as we think about our neighbors and those in our lives, where do we owe them good and where do we need to refrain from doing evil? Where do we need to repent? But we owe them good and we should not injure them. Now the question is, and we've sort of asked it, but let's ask it again. Who is your neighbor? Well, Jesus was asked this question, so we can take his answer. He says, he asked somebody, and that person asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Because they're trying to figure out the people they owe love your neighbor to. They want to love these people and those people they don't have to. But Jesus tells a story. It's one of his most famous parables. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan, where a man is beaten by robbers and left for dead, and a priest and a Levite pass him by on the road and do not stop to help him. And then a Samaritan stops to help him and provides for his needs and makes sure he's taken care of. And Jesus says, who was the neighbor in this story? And the person who originally asked, who is my neighbor, says, the one who showed mercy. So who is your neighbor? It is the one in your path who needs mercy and help, and we have the capacity to serve them. That's your neighbor. Those that you've come across who need the gospel, who need mercy, and you have the power to aid and serve them. And so it's the idea of neighbor is expanded. And Christ also expands the idea of to whom good is due. Because he tells us, what? We are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We at least owe that we can go to God on their behalf and pray for them. We can do that. Paul says that we should do good to all people. And that's one of the reasons why we do ministry here at Hickson Presbyterian Church. God has gifted, equipped, and called many, all of us, to love others by proclaiming the gospel in word and in deed. And this morning, I'm asking, will you join us? Many of you already have, and thank you. But if you are called to serve and have the ability, will you do good to your fellow members as well as to members of this community in gospel ministry? We have many avenues of service. You saw the choir just sing. It was beautiful. We have women's ministry, men's ministry, TASK, which is teaching after school kids. We have that ministry. We do missions. And many, many more. But of course, we'll only want to serve like this. We will only want to love our neighbor when we see Christ, who loved us, who considered us a neighbor, who did not plan evil, but instead did not withhold good from us, as he loved us by his death and resurrection. So we're to love our neighbor, but how else do we love like God? Well, we're to love righteousness. To love righteousness. Here we come to our middle couplet in verses 31 and 32, which focuses on the heart. It starts out, do not envy. Do not envy. Envy is a discontented, resentful desire for a desire for something someone else has. A discontented, resentful desire for something someone else has. That's envy. And it's a heart issue. We're instructed not to envy the man of violence. Who would envy a man of violence? But you may be tempted to say, look at the results they've gotten. And wouldn't that be nice? Why does he get it even though he's wicked and I don't? In Uganda, there's an issue called land stealing or land grabbing, where particularly when a man dies, if the widow is left, or just the children are left, or both even, it doesn't matter. As long as the man's not there, this will happen. People will come and push them off the land and take it for themselves. And I hope you are like me, and you are disgusted by that and outraged. And it is awful, but it does happen. But I can imagine that some people would look at that and say, I wish I had a lot like that. I need an extra lot because I have more kids. I need a bigger house, or I need to grow more crops, or any number of reasons. Many may not like the violence or what has done, but many may still yet envy that somebody got that extra land. They sure wish they could have it. It's a heart issue. But it can also lead to action. It says, and do not choose any of his ways. Do not choose any of his ways. Don't let it lead to action. Don't choose the ways of violence. It starts with envy. It starts in the heart, and it comes out later in action. So let us nip it in the bud. If you feel envy coming on, nip it in the bud. Confess and repent. But the alternative is here in verse 32. God tells us what he hates, what he loves. He abhors the devious person, people who act in a devious manner, but the upright are in his confidence. We're seeing what God hates and what he loves. He loves uprightness, and he hates deceitfulness. And so we shouldn't envy. The remedy to that is to love righteousness, to love what God loves. And we see that Israel was often envious of the other nations. They looked and longed for what they had. Oh, they have this land. They have this technology. Their crops are coming in. They don't have the drought. So what did they do? They envied the nations. And then what did they do? They began to choose to worship other gods like the nations. They took a shortcut because they wanted the blessing and they didn't care how they got it. And they began to rebel and rebel and rebel against God. And you know, sometimes we envy the success of others and think that if we take on their means, we'll get the same result. We like the result, so why not do what they're doing? But we shouldn't do this. If you're thinking about politics, one of the common arguments that you hear is, well, the other side does it. They're doing it, and if we don't do it, we're going to lose our power. But does that make it right? You might hear in your household, especially if you have children, well, he did it. Well, she did it. Again, they're envying the way, they're envying the wrong things, the wrong people, the wrong things. But it's not just politics or the household. It's churches too. Churches and pastors can look around at other churches with huge numbers or more online followers or whatever they care about. a bigger budget. And they say, well, look at the way they do things. And they envy it. So what do they begin to do? They begin to take shortcuts in ministry to get there. They stop doing things God's way. Instead, they let envy creep in. And so it can creep in anywhere. We all have to guard against it. We have to guard our hearts because it's a heart issue. Instead, let our hearts turn to love, righteousness. Because Jesus tells us it's a heart issue. Matthew 15 says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Matthew 6 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, do we trust God to provide? Are we grateful for what He has provided? Are we content with His provision? We'll only be content with what God has given us when we look to Christ and the reward He has given us, that He laid down His life for and said, this is what I'm giving my people, and I will surely give it to them. A peace with them, His righteousness, forgiveness, adoption, and then ultimately, eternal life, where there will be no more pain or suffering, where the reward is greater than anything we can get on this life. But what about when it's hard? How do we keep loving like God? How do we love our neighbor? How do we love righteousness when it gets hard? Well, we must hope in God. Hope in God. Verses 33 to 35, we have three couplets, and they're sort of contrary in that they have a but statement in there, and one half of the couplet is concerning the wicked, and the other half concerns the righteous. You see, the Lord curses the wicked, but blesses the dwelling of the righteous. The Lord scorns the scornful, but He does what? He gives grace or favor to the humble. The wise inherit honor, the fool gets disgrace. But as I read this morning, and I don't know if you're like me, you may ask this question. Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure that the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked and the blessing is on the dwelling of the righteous? Because I've seen some seemingly righteous people, and they're not doing well. And yet I see these wicked people, and they seem to be doing much better. So, Lord, are you sure that's right? Many psalms have these longings like, Lord, it seems like You're blessing the wicked. We're Your people. Where's our blessing? Even our passage intimates that this is there. Because who would envy a man of violence if he were struck down by God right away? If he were put in jail immediately? If the curse was obviously on his house as soon as he commits violence? Who would do that unless there's some space between these things? So these couplets help give us a proper perspective on life. That is, that God will ultimately fulfill these fully and finally. But in this life, there is a gap. There is a space. And so we learn not to hope for great wealth or health, but rather to trust Him for what He ultimately provides, which is peace with Him, life with Him, and life eternally. And this sort of hope guides us, as Paul instructs us in Romans 12, where he says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, do what? Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. That is, trust that God will eventually, fully and finally, curse the house of the wicked. He will scorn the scornful and give disgrace or to the fool. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it is because we have this hope of what God will do at the end that we can love like God now, even to overcome evil with good. Now, in these three verses, in these couplets, who receives God's favor? Who is honored? And who receives the blessing? Is it not the righteous, the humble, and the wise? The righteous, the humble, and the wise? And you may be tempted to look at your life and go, well, yeah, yesterday I was humble a little bit, I guess. I've shown some wisdom on Tuesday and Wednesday. I've got some righteousness. I'm doing all right. Haven't murdered anybody. That's usually the standard, by the way. I haven't murdered anybody. But to do that is to think poorly about what this text is getting at. When I was in seminary, my buddy was a Packers fan, and we have some Packers fan here. Robert's a Packers fan. And he's never been to a Packers game. And so I was like, let's go to the, they were playing at the Titans. So I was like, let's drive to Nashville. Let's go. I know what we're doing. We'll scalp tickets. We'll go to the game. And we had a good time. But we walked around, we saw the tailgates, and he's, you know, never really been to a game, so he's taking it all in, and it's a lot if you've never been. And we're walking around, we were talking to this one tailgate, and as we turned to leave, there were two tickets on the ground. And we picked them up, and we're like, well, all right, free tickets, let's go. This was easy. And so, but we first went to the closest people and said, hey, did y'all happen to drop any tickets? And they were like, no, but that means you all are living right. So in their theology, whatever higher power says we're living right and so blesses us with two tickets to the Titans game for free. That's their theology, right? And if you think about it, we all kind of do that from time to time because we think, oh, Lord, why don't you bless me because I've done this or that? I've been to church for 7 weeks in a row. Why not? Why am I experiencing this now? And it's okay to doubt. It's okay to struggle because ultimately, but as long as we do it with our hope in God, our hope in God. But that was their theology, and that's bad theology. By the way, we went to the ticket office, asked if anybody had reported these lost, and somebody had, so we gave them back, and we didn't get any free tickets. So maybe we're living poorly. I don't know. But we shouldn't take stock of our lives and go, well, how humble have I been? How righteous am I? Because that's going to depend, Lord's going to bless me accordingly. To do that is to not understand the Christian faith at its heart. Instead, we must look to Christ, His life, His perfect righteousness, right? His humility, His wisdom that He used to overcome evil with good. It is only in Him that we have these blessings, that we can say, yes, the Lord will bless me. It's only in Him that we can say, we will get grace and favor and honor, and we will have them for eternity. It is when we have this perspective that we can hope in God, knowing that through Christ we will have these blessings, and that will then empower us to love and serve our neighbors today. Christ did not withhold good. Christ did not choose the way of violence, but rather He endured violence on our behalf. And He is the one who provided the sure blessings of God by His death and resurrection. And we see in our passage that God has loved us in Christ. Therefore, let this empower us to love our neighbor to love righteousness, and to hope in God. Let us pray. Lord, we do come before you today. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word. But Lord, we ask for wisdom. May it impact our lives, Lord, so that we can truly love. Not to earn your love, but because we already have it. And Lord, help us to live in light of that every day. Today, tomorrow, and every day this week and beyond. And Lord, we pray this not because we deserve it, but because Christ does. In his name we pray. Amen.